The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Relation Slips with Dr. Bobby Sommer and Lori Lynn Mann. Both of your hosts are looking at relationships from opposite sides. Dr. Bobby Sommer has been married for over 50 years, while Lori Lynn Mann is involved in the dating world. Through their experiences, that of their amazing guests, and you, we'll show how to live through your spirit and with your ego. Now, here is Dr. Bobby and Lori.
Hi, welcome to Relation Slips. My name is Dr. Bobby Sommer, and I'm here with my good friend and my co-host, Lori Lynn Mann.
Welcome to today's show. I'm pretty excited about this one.
Me too. This is a very important show, actually, I think. One of the most important ones we've done in terms of information to people who want to know more about what happens with excessive marijuana use.
Yeah, I mean, this show, the premise of Relation Slips is that relationships become relation slips when our ego and spirit are out of whack. But really, that can happen on an intrapersonal and interpersonal level. So when we talk about the ego and spirit within ourselves, we share that with other people. So you'll see that in family dynamics. And that's the nature of today's show as we speak about substance abuse, because substance abuse really affects homes throughout the world.
The families.
The families, the parents, the sibling dynamic, the community dynamic. This is really a problem that is not going away. And I think that more and more people are starting to realize that and come seek therapeutic help through substance abuse with their families.
Absolutely. And today we're going to talk about the idea that there can be psychosis that's brought on by use of marijuana. And we're fathers saying, this is not your everyday grandma's old Mary Jane that she smoked. This is a whole different animal today, apparently.
Bobby, is this not the marijuana that you used to smoke? Is that what you're saying?
Kind of like that.
Nah, no. Just kidding.
Kind of like that. But we're really seeing the experts are telling us that we can have cannabis-induced psychosis. So let's talk a little bit about what's the difference between psychosis and a thing called neurosis. Several years ago, we had like a DSM 1 or 2, we now have a 5. It talked about a thing called neurosis, which is basically the struggle that the people have between being either anxious or depressed, because anxiety and depression are two ends of the same stick. So in the old days they called neurosis, now today we have much more refined, a much more stronger delineation. What's the difference between a so-called neurosis and psychosis? Well, in neurosis, we basically have the person is either defending against being depressed or fighting about against being anxious. But now, because of our fine-tuning, we now call things like major depressive disorders. We call it things like dysthymia, which is not quite as bad as a major depression.
Low-grade depression.
And we talk about things like generalized anxiety. So although we no longer use the term neurosis, we still do use the term psychosis. The difference is if I had a neurotic behavior, we're still functioning. We may not be happy and highly productive, but we're functioning, we're working, we're doing all these things. We're limited, but we can still do it. In psychosis, we're losing touch with reality. We have things called delusions. We have a thing called hallucinations. The difference between those is hallucinations are when I see things or hear things that other people don't see or hear. If I'm delusional, not only do I see and hear these things, but I assign meaning to them. So if I say, oh, if you tap 3 times, that obviously means that, and there's assignment of meaning, which to nobody else in the world makes any sense. So we're going to talk today with a wonderful woman that Laura's going to introduce in just a moment, with her experience of working with her son and her entire family on what happens when somebody does have a psychotic break because of probably because of marijuana.
Yeah, and this is something you don't hear about a lot. We hear of psychotic breaks through other substances. You hear about it through meth use, through a lot of psychotropic medication that has a stimulant effect on a high level. And people haven't taken marijuana use as seriously. So this amazing woman named Jody Belsher created a documentary film called The Other Side of Cannabis. Now, just as a disclaimer, I am involved in the project in disseminating the message of this amazing documentary through promotional uses of the media. And so I do know Jody personally, and I'm very excited to have her on our show today.
Absolutely.
But this, even if I did not know this woman and I saw the trailer for this amazing documentary, my jaw would hit the floor. Even as therapists, I mean, I've worked in substance abuse and residential rehab settings. I've worked with those with psychotic breaks, with or without substance-induced psychosis. But people do not speak about marijuana's detrimental effects on the young brain. And some of these effects are permanent. And that's what Jody Belsher has experienced. She's a wife and a mother, and she created this film because her own son had experienced marijuana addiction that led to psychosis through a psychotic break. So it was a devastation for her, but she turned that into something really beautiful by creating a documentary film to help others, to inform them of the dangers of this drug that's so widely used, that people think is really it's just a plant. It's just a natural.
So there's nothing wrong with it.
Oh, it's just weed. It's no big deal. Well,
as a matter of fact, I have a medical marijuana card.
Shows
you how
you hear
how,
that
exactly how really benign it is. It's not benign necessarily.
No, it's not. Especially if you are predisposed for maybe the gene expression that would express into psychosis later on. A lot of us carry these genes unknowingly, and I think that's a really important take home is that. Sometimes a substance, even marijuana, can induce psychosis by flipping the switch.
Yes.
So some people, smoke it thinking it's no big deal. It's going to limit my anxiety. It's going to help me chill out. I'm going to, be able to sleep better. Actually, the opposite may happen. You may have a psychotic break where maybe you don't sleep or you experience depression, anxiety on the most heightened level that is terrifying. And
absolutely.
Suicidality has become a part of this as well. People will smoke marijuana, become addicted to it, and experience a flat affect where there is amotivation, where things just aren't as bright and cheery. They're not excited to go out into the world and experience the things that they love. And that is the apathy that you experience through cannabis use. We talk about ego and spirit on this show.
Yes.
The apathetic spirit is that spirit that depletes energy, where there is a motivation in that stage. And we've talked about that swinging where you may be really anxious one moment and the body tries to come to homeostasis by going straight to apathy. But did you know that drugs can actually fiddle with that transition?
They absolutely can. And if we look at young adults that we're focusing on today, that age bracket, between the age of 18 and 25 or so, and these are the ones that really get their spirit and their ego goes really badly damaged. We talk about the people with their very ardent states when, adolescents naturally come to that way anyway because they're looking for answers, they're looking for ways to fit in. There's a lot of social awkwardness, not necessarily social anxiety per se, but many adolescents are that. It's what Freud talked about, the time of storm and strife and trying to find your way. So many kids will get into the use of marijuana because they're feeling anxious. So they use marijuana, and guess what? They start to feel what? More apathetic.
The other side of the spectrum.
Exactly. So what we're aiming for here, and I think that Jody will be our person to help us see how to do this, how do we get them to look more toward the middle state where our energies are balanced, where we are more animated, we have enough energy to meet our social awkwardness, but we also do not have to be into this depleted and in really terribly depressed state.
And, we talk about ego and spirit dynamic really shifting through our energetic states, being ardent or apathetic or a vigilant ego or the flip side, the vulnerable state. But really, when you fiddle with this with substances, it can fiddle with the ego-spirit dynamic of a family. So marriage and family therapists focus on that family dynamic. There's
exactly.
A lot of family systems in place that actually will speak of when this lack of homeostasis happens in a family and there is an imbalance that creates tension. Most people come to therapy because they feel uncomfortable. They feel stuck. And families come in for tension.
Mm-hmm. And what we're going to be talking about today is family systems a great deal. And family systems is an idea that families operate much as a solar system. Things are rotating around. And the interesting thing about families is families always seem to collude to keep everybody in their role. For example, if I know Lori in a certain role, she's in my family, I want you to stay in that role. Why? Because it's predictable. Because I know what to count on. Because I don't have to have a brand new set of coping skills. I know how to deal with you when you're this way. So the example I love to use is it's like the mobile hanging over a baby's crib. You've all seen those. They kind of bounce around. Baby loves to watch it. When a wind comes along, they go crazy. They're bouncing all over the place. Till eventually they come into this thing that you just mentioned called homeostasis. And so today, I know that Joy's going to be able to help us deal with people who are listening to this program to find out what to do if you are faced with you and your family going through this very, very severe crisis of getting into some kind of a cannabis-induced psychosis.
You know, when we speak to Jody after the break, we're going to talk about her experience with this this condition that led her to create this film to educate others about the risks of marijuana use. And we're going to talk to her also on a personal level of what this effect it created for her individually. And, of course, it motivated her to create a film. So some Absolutely. Shift happened within this woman to want to go out and be what she has now become an activist. And if you ask me, a hero.
Yes.
Because of what she's telling
Absolutely.
People.
Absolutely.
So as we get ready to come into the break, I want people to tweet us and tell us your stories about, have you experienced a shift in family dynamic based on a substance? Maybe it was a loved one that experienced alcoholism or abuse of psychotropic medication or opioid use.
Or prescription drugs.
Prescription
Very
drugs
common.
In America is really the one that's swept under the rug along with cannabis.
Yes.
And, you know, when we talk about this, look at our ego spirit spectrum. Facebook us, facebook.com, relationships. Radio show, and tell us more about what you've experienced or what you've thought of in the past about marijuana use and shifts in families.
And maybe we can help you begin to look at it through a new lens with Jody's help and what we want to be looking for in terms of what happens to us if we begin to slip into this unfortunate psychotic episodes.
So as we get ready for the break, you can actually go online if you're in front of your computer and go to Jody's website, othersideofcannabis.com. You can see a trailer for the movie during the break or after the show even and see what your relationship is to this mindset in America and throughout the world about cannabis use, that it is not as dangerous as people think, is a conception, but really what sort of shift you might experience when you watch this show. So as we get ready to come to the break, go ahead and tweet us at O Relationslips or Relationslips Radio Show on Facebook. And stay tuned and we'll talk to you then.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Do you feel like you are alone in a desert? Often we feel alone with no place to turn for help and guidance in our troubles that always seem to be so overwhelming. Stop. Take an hour each week to tune in to Stream in the Desert with Dr. Rita Huang. Dr. Rita will share stories of people just like you, intended for you to find some inspiration in their problems and solutions. The most important thing is that you are not alone. Others have been in the same place. Share some time with us every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 a.m. Pacific, and on demand on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Are you or someone you know interested in attending college? With both college tuition and college enrollment up 60% since 2002, there is a lot of competition, and careful planning needs to be a part of the process. Tune in to Getting In, a College Coach Conversation, hosted by Elizabeth Heaton and featuring a team of college coach experts. We'll bring you the tips, techniques, and know-how to navigate the road to college and do so the smart way. Listen live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
are listening to Relation Slips. To reach Dr. Bobby Sommer, Lori Lynn Mann, or their guests today, call into the show at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Now back to Relation Slips.
All right, welcome back. Today's show is about relationships becoming relation slips through substance abuse. And while we've talked about in the last segment, Dr. Bobby Sommer here with Lori Lynn Mann, we're two therapists who've worked in the field of substance abuse with families, with individuals, and we're bringing it to the forefront through our show so that people all over the nation and those listening throughout the world can actually tune in and acknowledge sort of the patterns that they've seen in their own life or with friends or family or loved ones. So as we welcome our guest, and today we have Jody Belsher, the documentarian, the creator of the breakthrough documentary film, The Other Side of Cannabis, which is launching just this month in Southern California and through Media Sensation nationwide in the U.S. Jody, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
So, Jody, tell us about what led you to create this film, your motivation behind it. What was the story like in your life that led you to this experience? Because you hadn't created a documentary film before. You had worked in other fields. In L.A., you were a singer, and you were a mother and a wife and a graphic designer. And then you decided to create this documentary film. So tell us what the story was that led you to this.
Well, it began with our son's heavy use of marijuana. We initially thought it was no big deal. It was a phase. We didn't know that marijuana could be harmful, so we had no real red flags. But as he progressed through high school and was preparing to leave for college, we could see he was really spiraling. He had gone from being a very, very good student to really struggling. And he went off to college and pretty much smoked a lot of marijuana. That led to his really being incapable of continuing at school, coming home, and really getting very depressed and spiraling into a psychotic break. And as you said earlier, that's a detachment from reality and sometimes has hallucinations and delusions, and he was not connecting anymore. It was very, very frightening. It was like watching an accident. He was subsequently hospitalized, and through that hospitalization, I became aware that this was happening at pretty much an epidemic rate, that particularly to our sons, I was noticing a lot of other people struggling with this same issue. And then I started hearing from a lot of people that marijuana was causing a lot of issues in their lives. So I was filming my sense of my source of strength through this difficult period as my son was spiraling was music, because that's where I come from, is a musical background. And I started writing songs and performing and recording. And I ended up doing a CD of my music, and then I decided to do a music video called Gather the Dreams, one of my songs, which is currently up on YouTube.
It's a great song, by the way. Oh, it's a beautiful song, very moving.
And so while I was filming, it just dawned on me, I could film what happened. I could film a documentary and explain so other people can know, because I don't think people understand just how harmful this harmless substance could be. And that was my initial motivation. Of course, I'd never done a documentary. I had no idea how, and I thought, I'm going to figure it out.
I love that philosophy of, if not me, who?
Exactly.
If not now, when?
It's really powerful, Jody, that you took something that was really disgruntling in your life, that was creating an emotional state of distress, and you turned it into a powerful thing for you.
Thank you.
I mean, I see singing for some people, singing, prayer, meditation, yoga, as coming to that centered state. So they say that for some people, their brainwaves calm down, their heart rate comes down when they come to this centered spirit. And in our lingo that Bobby and I talk about all the time is the vital ego, which is the rational, mature state of your ego, and the animated spirit, which is generating energy and is focused. So you were able to center in and to dive into the musical world to process, which I would call your grief for your son.
Oh, absolutely.
The loss. Absolutely. And we were definitely in a state of grief. At first, it was a state of denial. We couldn't understand what was happening. I literally spent months on my couch in a fetal position. I couldn't work. I couldn't function. I didn't go do things. I was so distraught. I was really immobilized by what was happening to my baby. And it was devastating for us. And as you spoke earlier, this is a family disease. This is not just the person struggling. This affects not only our immediate family, but our extended family. We were all affected very, very deeply.
Absolutely. We have cousins, we have aunts, uncles, we have grandparents, we have
exactly.
siblings. In your case, two other children that are involved. So it's far reaching. It has tentacles reach everywhere. And what I love about what you're saying is when you first discovered how severe it really was and got past the denial stage, it's very difficult not to stay in that apathetic state. If I just stay on my couch, rolled up in a ball, I could face it. But after a while, you know, your ego gets stronger and you're just like, I can't stay here forever. So you begin to switch slowly over to what we would call your animated state where your spirit got focused and you said, okay, what can I do about this? You know, listeners, here's the thing about this. When we start to take some kind of a step toward control, life gets better. Right, Jody?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And the first thing I did was I contacted our county mental health. They happen to have a wonderful program of support, and I started attending the family support group once a week. And I learned so much, and I heard so many others with my story that I didn't feel alone. I had a place to cry. I had support, and I got amazing tools of how to go forward with what we were coping with.
Yeah.
You generated your energy by creating this film. So tell us about that process of getting the researchers involved. You interviewed some phenomenal sources for this film from NAMI, from Harvard. You have a neuropsychologist. You have other substance abuse counselors and experts. And then you not only did that, you interviewed people, young people, who've experienced addiction to marijuana use, very similar to what your son experienced. So how did you gather these people? What was that process like? And what were the learnings that you took home while making the film?
Well, I started out by just sending out emails. I just started emailing everybody and anything. I would look up articles that were written, and I'd say, well, I wonder if this person would talk to me. And then they'd say yes. And those people would introduce me to other people, and then they introduced me to people in their community who were struggling with this exact same process that I was going through. And I just contacted them, and it pretty much... I think everybody I contacted said yes, and it was just a matter of if I could get to them or not. I ended up going, I was in Europe, and I was in Paris briefly. I got to meet with the head European Union researcher on marijuana in the brain.
Wow.
And fortunately, I speak French, so I interviewed him. I have a very brief segment of him in the film. However, it was fascinating, and he was one of my first interviews. It was really, really powerful. What he told me I'd never heard before, and it made a lot of sense, and it's in my film, and it's just incredible. Then I ended up going to Boston and interviewed at Harvard. I interviewed three researchers who are the top researchers on the brain and marijuana and youth. And then, like you said, the head of NAMI, the medical director, Kenneth Duckworth. And then those people introduced me to other people. I ended up in Boulder, Colorado, right to the heart of things.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And then I went into a dispensary, and they let me film in there, and that was a fascinating experience. Made me very nervous, but
I
did film in there. And then I filmed at a high school in Boulder, and I got to talk to kids who are dealing with this, and they went on camera and talked about how they're managing and how they got clean and sober.
Wow.
And then I was in Chicago, and I interviewed at a rehab center there called FAIR. It's a wonderful program, really, really powerful program. And unfortunately, I got to interview their director and many of their people who are attending their rehab center. So that was a really, really good place. And then, of course, in Central California, I've interviewed many, many people here of all levels, people who just marijuana was solely their drug of choice, and others who went on to harder drugs and had other experiences.
Yeah. I think that what you're saying, Jody, is that once you started getting the message out there that, look, I want to tell this story, people, you know, stood behind you, and there became this support system of researchers and neuroscientists and all these things that can say, look, we have to tell people about this little known problem, which is marijuana can be an addiction and can lead towards psychosis. So what sort of symptoms are people talking about in the film, and what sort of statistics do you have that you learned about with regard to this psychotic disorder that can pop up from abuse?
So primarily this film is geared towards youth. So anybody up into the age of 30, they say, they're still developing their brain and they're still vulnerable to changes in their brain. And those changes could be as minor but still debilitating as amotivational syndrome, which you talked about earlier, all the way up into mental illness, such as major depression disorder, anxiety disorders, and psychosis, and schizophrenia. There's a link between schizophrenia yes. and marijuana use. They haven't established exactly how that works yet, but there is definitely a yeah. link there. So, and then beyond that, we learned a lot about addiction and how addictive marijuana has become because of the high levels of THC. So yes. what I learned was marijuana consists of more than 400 chemicals, and the two main chemicals are THC, tetrahydrocannabinoid, and CBD, cannabidiol. Now, the THC, back when I was a kid, when Granny was a kid, was between 1% and 3%, and so it was somewhat manageable. Now, they're testing at 15%. On oh, average, and it goes up to 90% in dabs, and they call it other things, glass, wax. Those levels are psychoactive, and they are very dangerous on the brain, and that's why we're seeing suddenly all these incidences of psychosis, because it's just too powerful of a substance.
Yes, and that's why we're seeing
withdrawals. The message out there is it's just a plant. It's natural, it's healthy, it's medicinal, but the reality is that's coming from a lot of people back in the day when maybe that could have had some truth. Today's marijuana is not that unless you are getting pure CBD. Now, CBD itself, because it's the counter psychoactive drug, because those two, THC being the psychoactive, CBD being counter psychoactive, the CBD is in the plant to balance it, but as the plant has been bred to higher levels of THC, that CBD has gone down because the plant can't maintain both at the same level. So what's happening is there's research going on actually right now in Israel where they are having a lot of success with CBD, pulling out the CBD and using it not to smoke, because smoking is never a healthy endeavor, but the CBDs in a tincture or in some sort of form that is very successful right now in their trials treating schizophrenia and other kinds of mental illnesses, because it is an anti-psychoactive chemical. So that's where there's a confusion in the public. The older generation thinks it's safe because they don't know, and there's a confusion about what's medical marijuana and what are people smoking recreationally? And even some medicinal marijuana, I found out some things about it that were shocking.
Mm.
When we were in
what
Colorado.
Did you find out? Yeah.
We learned that we actually ended up meeting somebody who wouldn't go on camera, but he told me that he sells pesticides. And his biggest customer is the organic farmer in California.
Oh,
well, I was shocked, and I said, how is that? And he said, well, it's a huge cash crop. And they have aphids, and those aphids need to be treated by a rose pesticide. It's very toxic, and it's showing up when they're testing marijuana, even organic varieties, even medicinal varieties, and that pesticide, 70% of it gets into your system. So it's not healthy, and there's bacteria, there's mold, and there's other substances. So when someone says to me, is it safe for an adult? That's not really my area, but I would suggest they really know what they're putting into their system and always weigh out the benefits versus the risks.
You're right. I think a lot of people don't think of that, that you could be inhaling pesticides which have detrimental effects on your body, carcinogens, and so on. You know, usually in psychoeducation on drug use, we talk about meth being this really dangerous drug where you could be really injecting something like arsenic or rat poison in your body and all these unknown chemicals, and that's the scary part we tell people in rehab. But really what you're saying, Jody, is that marijuana today could carry so many other harmful things that people don't know about, not just for their health, but also for their sanity. I think that's a take home.
I think so too, and particularly the fact that whatever happened to using ladybugs for the aphids, for goodness sakes.
Oh, God.
I mean, come on. I mean, you know, but the pesticides that the kids are ingesting, it's really criminal to me.
Yeah. So we're actually getting ready to come to break, so hold that thought. Don't forget to tweet us at @orelationslips or facebook.com Relationslips Radio Show. Stay tuned, and we'll hear more from Jody after the break.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
On the morning of August 5th, 1962, the world awoke to the shocking news that Marilyn Monroe, one of the biggest icons in Hollywood history, had been found dead. What really happened that night? Join Nina Bosky as she seeks to uncover both the life and tragic death of Marilyn Monroe and what keeps her so popular over 50 years later. Good Night Marilyn Radio, live every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Tune in to Patricia Raskin Positive Living on VoiceAmerica.com every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Time. This program brings you practical and inspiring principles for living a more authentic, engaging, and passionate life. Patricia's guests will give you a formula for connecting, giving, forgiving, and miraculous living. So tune in and call in to Patricia Raskin Positive Living Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Time right here on the Voice America Variety Channel. It's practical, positive solutions for a happy, empowered, and successful life.
The world we live in has become a crazy place. Poverty is at an all-time high in the wealthiest nation on earth. We keep calling on government to save us with new programs. And now, we have more people using food stamps than any time in our history. This problem continues to get worse. The answer to poverty is in our homes, churches, and communities, and through our children. Get the answers from the Mickey Ellison Show, Wednesdays at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern on Voice America Variety.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Relations Slips. To reach Dr. Bobby Sommer, Lori Lynn Mann, or their guest today, call into the show at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Now back to Relations Slips.
All right, welcome back to the show. Today we're talking to Jody Belsher, who is, I would call a hero, because she is the creator of the documentary film, which is really a breakthrough and stirring a lot of media buzz right now. It's called The Other Side of Cannabis. So what we're talking today is how relationships become relation slips through substance abuse, yes. But we're also talking about this shift about the danger of marijuana use and into marijuana addiction. You know, Bobby, most people don't call it an addiction. They say, oh, you can't get addicted to weed. Come on.
It's only marijuana.
It's a plant.
It's just marijuana.
And, you know, people will go into rehab programs now for marijuana addiction. And it's sad to say that in some of these rehab programs, somebody who's suffering from heroin or meth addiction will say, oh, you're here for marijuana? Please.
Yeah.
But really, we're going to start seeing a shift. And the reason why is that the THC levels in marijuana is not your grandmother's marijuana. It now has a very dangerous effect and can create a psychotic break for people who are predisposed for such a break or are experiencing delusions and hallucinations that come into a permanent effect through a psychiatric diagnosis. So, Jody Belsher, welcome back. We're talking to you during the break about, you know, what this has been for you been like for you with your family. So you're a wife, you're a mother. You know, tell our viewers, those that are listening, what it was like for you with your within your family, because what we know as therapists is that when there is substance abuse in the home, especially with a child, there is tension between the spouses. There's tension between the mother and her other children. What did you experience, and did you have to create boundaries?
Absolutely, and I think the most important thing is to get on the same page with everybody, and that's very, very difficult to do because not everybody comes to that understanding at the same time, and it's very hard to be patient and hard to sort of go forward in a situation where, for me, I understood immediately because my son and I are very close, and he came to me. So I saw what was going on, and my other family members did not. And it took quite some time till everybody got on board, but they did eventually. But it was very rocky during that period. And I think the most important thing for me was to continue doing my own self-care, and that included going to Al-Anon, which is a wonderful program to really help me get some tools. And eventually my husband also went to Al-Anon. And becoming as educated as I could was very, very helpful. Learning not to enable, whether it's my son or other family members,
absolutely,
to encourage them to continue their enabling behavior.
Oh, yeah. You always see in family systems when, I mean, it's very common that whenever there is addiction in the home, there's usually somebody enabling, somebody disengaged. There's all these roles that we play. And in family systems theory, there's Satirian theory that talks about roles. Bowenian theory talks about the shift in dynamic where we become uncomfortable if one person leaves the home, and so the tension arises. And I know you and I talked earlier, Jody, about when you had to create boundaries with your son. So you were the first person to kind of come down hard on him for his marijuana use. What did you have to do to create a boundary for yourself and your family when his abuse became really detrimental?
Well, the mantra that we took on and I took on initially was that sobriety equals support. And that was it, period. Mm-hmm. And in order to get help from me,
you
have to be sober. And then I would support you every way I could. But you had to do what you had to do to get sober. And I would not accept anything but that. And I was counseled during that time through our county mental health. And they said, well, what can you tolerate? What can you stomach? If it's pouring rain and freezing cold and he's standing at your door and crying and screaming, I need to come in, are you going to open the door if he's not willing to get sober? And I couldn't answer that until I was faced with it. And the first few times, I opened that door. But once you do that and you recognize that this isn't helping anybody, the next time I didn't open it. And I have to tell you, it's extremely painful, extremely difficult thing to do while I'm sitting warm in my home in winter and he's shivering out on my deck saying, please let me in, and not willing to get sober.
Your baby's out there screaming for your help. Yeah, that's it tears
it's
your heart
so
out.
It's so tough, but there's the boundary setting and the consistency with boundaries that has to happen, and it happens out of love.
Absolutely.
It's tough love, really is, and we encourage yes. that in, you know, our family support groups that we have in rehab programs.
Right.
So you did that, and I'm assuming your other family members were not keen on that idea.
Oh, I heard from my daughters, what kind of mother are you, and why are you doing this, and he's crying, and he's calling us, and he's saying how you're doing this to him, but nobody understood. In the beginning, none of us could really understand exactly what was going on. We didn't know what was wrong. I mean, we knew he was smoking a lot of marijuana. We didn't know it could do that.
Exactly.
So that's what's really tricky with Jody's story is that she saw this abuse. So there's abuse and then there's addiction. So usually abuse leads to addiction.
Yes.
So when he was abusing marijuana, you said, nope, 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 I'm going to create a boundary. You have to get clean, come back, and you can come back when you're clean. But later on, he came back with a psychotic break.
So right. He eventually did come back, and he did ask for help, and he did say he wanted to get sober. But at that point, he was quite sick.
Yes.
And his drug was always marijuana. He was in love with marijuana. It defined him. It was culturally him. It was his friends. It was everything about him was about that. And so for him to give it up was not just stopping having a glass of wine. It was giving up culture, identity, friends. It was giving up everything. And he felt how am I going to even go forward in my life if I don't have this in my life? So it was extremely difficult. And he explained that to us.
Yeah.
I can't just do that. You know, it's too hard.
Yeah.
But eventually it made him do it because he didn't have a choice. He was so sickened from it. And he had started at that young, vulnerable age, which is what we talk about in the movie. The movie is about adolescents, teenagers, and young adults and how vulnerable they are, particularly if you have a family history, but not even only if you have a family history. You may be vulnerable because you just are.
Well, genetically, you are predisposed and don't even know it. And how do you find that out? Sometimes you don't know it.
And really what you talk about, which I think was a phenomenal point, is that the brain continues to develop. They used to say up until 25, but in the film you talk about up until age 30.
Yes.
So when Jodi's talking about this vulnerability, she's talking about the developing mind, which is between 18 and 30 is really those very vulnerable times for the brain. And that's when people smoke pot, right? In those years, college,
yes.
High school, young adulthood. And so what she's saying in this film is that this can create permanent effects on the brain's structure of the neuronal pathways.
They may be irreversible.
Now, MRIs, and we talk about it in the film, and they show how the brain actually suffers, and it's very clear that something's happening, and they don't know what the recovery is. They don't know for sure if someone can recover once it's been affected.
And
particularly
terrifying.
At that age. There's some studies out now that are pretty conclusive saying you can lose 6 to 8 IQ points from marijuana abuse. That's a big number.
It's a big number, and it's not just limited to 6 or 8 points. Over time, those can become larger points. And that's what's really scary about, you know, losing someone you love so dearly. I mean, he's in your life, but he's not fully there. And that's so scary for people.
Oh, gosh. We're talking about grief and loss, and that sometimes loss isn't just a death. It's loss of a personality.
Yes.
It's loss of your child. You know, in terms of psychosis, a lot of people experience this through those who are diagnosed with a psychotic disorder, that you feel that you've lost that person.
And it does feel that way. And it was very, very frightening because initially my son didn't speak for a month. And we thought we lost him. We thought we'd never speak with him again. It was very traumatic. But he did emerge from that, and he was able to move forward, but he's still struggling. He talks about it in the film. He's in the film. And he talks about how much he suffers daily from depression. And if we have a moment, I can explain why that happens, because I learned about how that happens.
Yeah, we have a few minutes before break, so I'd love to hear more about the depression piece, because a lot of people smoke weed to go away from the depression or their anxiety, but what they don't know is it's actually exacerbating it.
It's
right.
Increasing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just the opposite. It works initially, briefly, but what happens is we have a natural neurochemical in our brain that fits into our neurotransmitter called anandamide, and that puzzle piece, if you will, is an identical piece to THC. So THC goes into that puzzle piece just the way anandamide does and enters the neurotransmitter and goes into the brain. Well, anandamide stops when it gets to GABA, and it filters through GABA, it's another neuroreceptor, and that GABA doles out that dopamine into your reward system in your brain that's healthy. Now, if you start using THC, that goes in the same receptor, but it doesn't have the attachment to GABA. So what happens is it bypasses GABA and starts to flood your reward center. Suddenly, you've got so much dopamine that you're thinking the government's coming to get you, and you're looking behind your shoulder, and you're paranoid, and you're afraid because you're so heightened in your senses. It's too much. At first, it feels really good to feel so good, but then it gets to be too much. And after repeated use, you start damaging those receptors, and they stop being able to take in anandamide at all. In fact, your body starts saying, we don't need to produce anandamide. You got plenty of whatever that substance is, and
it's
stopped.
It's like a permanent slice to the brain.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, reward system, you're gone. I mean, people don't realize that. That's what today's show is about. If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Jodi Belcher from The Other Side of Cannabis, the breakthrough documentary that talks about the danger of marijuana use. We're not talking about it just being a relaxation, just a natural plant. We're talking about it leading towards psychosis and even detrimental effects that are permanent with extreme depression, which we call major depressive disorder in the therapy world, and generalized anxiety disorder with panic attacks.
similar form that you'll receive because they're near the same receptor. So you experience depression and anxiety on a heightened level from years and years of marijuana use. I mean, who would have thought?
Yeah.
Well, what happens is once you stop using THC and you try to get control over that, now not only does the THC not work into those receptors and you have no anandamide, what happens is that reward center becomes void of dopamine. And that's where you get the major depression disorder because now you can't feel good. And you keep trying to get it back. So you'll try to smoke again, but it's not working. And you're not able to produce the dopamine anymore, and your reward center is really suffering. And so some people go on to other drugs because then it will enter a different neural receptor, and they can get another kind of a high.
Yeah.
And some people will just stay in a very deeply depressed state or anxious. So, yeah, it's sort of this cycle of no win that starts happening, and that's very typical of addiction in general, but that's exactly what's happening in the case of marijuana.
These are such phenomenal points, Jody. If you're listening in now, feel free to go to othersideofcannabis.com sometime after this show and check out this trailer. You're going to hear the statistics. You're going to see the people in the film. This is really breakthrough stuff. We're just about to go into break. So if you have any questions, our listener call-in number is 1-866-472-5788. Stay tuned. We'll have more with Jody after the break.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com. Tune in Tuesdays and join the credit master and consumer advocate, Mr. D, a.k.a. Bruce J. Danielson, and learn the whole truth about credit risk scoring, collectors, both kinds, credit bureaus, credit cards, tax liens, mortgages, and much more. Find out how to use accountability combat to protect yourself from becoming a victim and to fight back against corporate abusers, such as banksters who have taken unfair advantage of most of us. The Consumer Fight Back Show educates consumers on how to find relief within today's onerous credit system. See you Tuesdays, 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Families today face unique challenges. Marriage, parenting, and family forms have changed a lot in the last century. Family Matters with Dr. Virginia Collin will focus on building and maintaining healthy family relationships. We will discuss marriage, divorce, family mediation, parenting, lifestyles, and mental health, all kinds of family matters. Our show will feature guest experts and your participation, too. You can listen to Family Matters live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific on Voice America Variety.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Relation Slips. To reach Dr. Bobby Sommer, Lori Lynn Mann, or their guest today, call into the show at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Now back to Relation Slips.
Hi there. Welcome back to Relation Slips. I'm Dr. Bobby Sommer with Lori Lynn Mann. And we're here talking with Jody Belcher, who's done such a wonderful, wonderful job of educating all of us. I mean, it's great when psychologists can be really educated by the real deal.
I know. We've studied it, but we're here learning from this woman.
and Jody said a moment ago that she knows it inside and out, unfortunately, from every angle possible. And I think that's so important. So, Jody, in our remaining moments together, we'd like to ask our listeners to pay close attention to what you're saying in terms of any kind of so-called advice you have, any kind of information you could share with other family members that are listening. And also for you who are listening and you want to help Jody, you can go to PayPal. And you can look under her webpage and you can make some contributions because there's lots and lots and lots more she has to do.
So the email address is info@othersideofcannabis.com. So you can go to the website and go through it that way or go through PayPal because financial contributions and donations are going to get this film out into educational centers, into rehab programs, and into the hearts and minds of those that want to hear more about this big story about what people need to hear about
marijuana. So now, Jody, since you are
our absolute expert mom. I think you said a mother bear, your son calls you, which is great. Welcome back, and we want to hear from you now. Well, you're talking to the other mothers out there, the other brothers and sisters, the other family members, and they're struggling with this. What are your insights? What's some takeaway we can give them to go out and really, really meet this head on?
Well, I think a couple of things. First of all, I think it's too late for me, but for others, we need to educate. We need to educate our children beginning at 8 years old. That's what I discovered on this journey, that we need to start with, and perhaps I can at some point create a book I have in mind for children on substance, because we need to have that conversation early. The earlier we educate, the more we educate. What we found in these rehab settings is the more they found out about what was actually happening to them, the more they were able to stay in sobriety and understand and embrace a sober life. So I think that's really key, is for families to educate and talk to your children and find out as much as you can. Go watch my film. It's like a college course. And the other thing that's really, really important, and it's so hard to do because it's such chaos when you're in this, if you're experiencing what I experienced, to maintain that sense of love with your child and to give them that love and tell them you love them, however, also state that sobriety equals support. I love you and sobriety equals support, and that's the safe place for me and what I need and our family needs and what we see for you. So maintaining that mantra, maintaining that love is very hard to do when somebody's out of control. And particularly if they're out of control at you, and oftentimes what you see with somebody in these kinds of mental health states is a lot of rage, a lot of anger, and a lot of misbehavior.
Oh, yeah.
It's really, really difficult as a parent to stay calm and loving because you want to lash back out, and particularly if you don't know what's going on. Stress that to stay in that place of love, get a lot of support, go to your county mental health, go to Al-Anon, get with other people who've experienced this. There's lots of blogs and sites. You can go on my website. I have a Facebook page called Marijuana Addicts, Families, and Friends, and there's lots of great discussion on that page from people who use and families who are struggling. And then just making sure that you do self-care. I think that's the hardest thing. For me, I ended up with an autoimmune disorder because I stressed out so much I couldn't take care of myself. Right. And now I'm having to deal with that. What you learn in Al-Anon is how you do self-care, you know, what that looks like. And you hear from other people and how they do that. And allowing yourself to rejoice in your other children, in your spouse, in your friends, in celebrations, very hard to do when you're in crises or trauma.
Absolutely. And learning how to reach out. And in your case,
not isolating. I have a song. I always dreamed about having a song in a movie. When I have a movie and I put my song at the end of the movie, and it's called One Moment in Time.
Yes.
And in the song, I talk about not isolating. And I think that's really, really key. Whether you're the family member or you're the one struggling, not isolating, really forcing yourself out to seek support and help is so important.
As you said earlier on, which is such a salient point for our listeners to understand, is that this is a family issue. It's a whole system of operations, and we're all involved in this. I mean, the fact that you had to be tough and pull yourself out of a role you're playing, stand the wrath of your two other children saying, how could you be so mean, Mommy? He's sat out there in the rain crying. Are you a monster or something?
Right.
It's tough to stay with that because you know that ultimately that's what you have to do to come out the other side.
It's very painful and very difficult, but I love my child so much. I would have done anything. I've written so many songs about this and about him and about my love for him, and that I would have done anything to take this pain away, to take this journey away. And I told him just a few days ago, I wish so much I knew then what I know now. I didn't, and for my part, I feel that pain that I wish I could have educated better. I had no idea. And my son responded with, and I had no idea. It was dangerous. I didn't know. That's not what I was hearing.
Yes.
So the message is still out there to young people that it's safe. I heard it last night. Somebody was in my home. I had a dinner, and somebody here said to me, that their son smokes marijuana and he is fine and there's no problem with it because it's a plant. It's safe. It's natural. And I couldn't believe it. It was just like, you're kidding me. Somebody's in my home telling me this.
It's probably the most annoying.
That is still the prevailing attitude. And that's what I'm hoping with my film, is that we can educate and then make informed decisions. I'm not telling you what to do. I don't tell you in the film what to do. I tell you this is what we know. You decide. You weigh those benefits versus those risks. And if you're an adult, you make that decision. But if you're a child, then the system around you, education, and your family, they need to know so they can help guide you to make good choices. And I don't think right now that exists. I mean, we have warning labels on alcohol bottles, and we have warning labels when we pick up a prescription drug. Mm-hmm. But when you go to smoke marijuana, you think it's safe, and there's no warning, there's no risks, there's no nothing. And a doctor will prescribe a pound of it and say, oh, here's a pound of medication. Take whatever you need and whatever you want.
Yeah. Yeah, and I bet you that medical marijuana card says nothing about beware.
No, there's none of that.
Nothing there. So it's terribly deceiving to the American public. And
right.
I think it's extremely unfair to moms and dads and sisters and brothers and families in general, because they don't know what they're doing. Your son can say to you, I didn't know. And you could say, you know, son, I didn't either. So at least you could have that conversation now. And literally, thank God for that you could have that with your son, because it's, a while ago you said maybe it's too late for you in some areas, which it is, like educating him young. But it's never too late for you to continue that love and support that you have for all of your family.
Absolutely. And that's what we've done. We've just poured love into this young man, and we're just, you know, we pray a lot that he's going to fully recover. We don't know. He struggles every day, struggles with anxiety and depression every single day. And it is not something like you didn't get the job or you didn't pass your test. Depression is a very, very serious illness, and it's very dark and frightening and difficult to manage and to have it every day. I mean, I feel for him.
Yes.
It's very difficult, because this is by no means finished, because I completed a film. This is an ongoing situation.
It's the beginning.
This is just the beginning.
Yeah, it's just the beginning.
You are the one leading this crusade. I want to call it that, because it's been widely accepted in America that you can smoke pot. It's easy breezy. It's no big deal. And we're here to say no. By watching your film, I think it's really a wake-up call.
It's also a call to action.
And a call to action.
So all of you listeners, tell your friends. Go online. Tell people about that. You know, remember, I love to end the show by saying this. No matter what the question, love is the answer.
And I agree.
You've loved your children right all through this. So good for you, Jody. God bless you. Thank you so much for being on our program and continue the wonderful work you're doing.
I really appreciate the support, and thank you to the listeners. I really, really appreciate all the support.
Absolutely. Take good care of yourself.
And for our listeners, don't forget to view othersideofcannabis.com and tweet your reactions to O Relation Slips on Twitter, Relation Slips Radio Show on Facebook. Stay tuned for next week's show when we talk about when relationships become relation slips. Thanks for joining us today.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Relation Slips. Make sure you join Dr. Bobby Sommer and Lori Lynn Mann for another great show next Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. This week, turn your relation slip into the relationship that you want.